Inertia. A Hikaru no Go fanfiction written by Rage Proofrock. Toya has always been a quiet, mature child. Though he's young, Toya Akira has always been a quiet, mature child, so his parents do not hesitate to arrange an omiai with an old family friend on his 22nd birthday. The girl, her name is Natsumi, is polite and pretty and inoffensive, has a passing interest in Go, and most importantly, a sort of awe-inspiring stillness which fascinates Akira, who has always felt a storm raging in his head. He finds her interesting and otherwise acceptable as well. He can't think of any reason not to marry her, and so he does. 3 weeks short of his 23rd birthday, at a lavish and elegant ceremony, after which there is a lavish and raucous reception, where various very drunken members of the groom's party make short, wandering speeches. Shindo Hikaru, who has known Toya several years longer than the general accepted length of forever, is the most charming of the inebriated, and he holds up a sparkling champagne glass and says at the reception, "To Natsumi-san, who can comfort Toya when I rip the Oza title out of his squirrely hands?" Laughter ripples through the crowd at this, because their rivalry is legendary at this point, fondly discussed over tea by members of the Go Institute, pondered on by Go Weekly. People have come to love watching the prodigal son Shindo rise to the challenge of Toya Akira as nearly as much as Akira has. Later, when nobody's listening, Toya starts a discussion, which generates into a truly pathetic argument, over whether or not his hands are actually squirrely and what that actually means anyway. His first night as a married man, he spends passed out in a large sort of uncomfortable bed in a resort spa in Kyoto. He wakes up the morning after to see Natsumi in sedate pajamas, asleep on the other side of the bed, and feels terribly uninspired, but he leans over and strokes her hair until she wakes, and smiles at him nervously. Toya has always done what he's supposed to do. Toya still, as he always has, watches Shindo with a determined awareness. He takes note of Shindo's shifting and inconstant moods, the changes and patterns of Shindo's life, to which he bears unfailing witness, and records, for his private understanding, wary of it for no reason he can fathom. Over the years, he's watched Shindo be distressed by Akira's affections for him, stumble into the go-salon hungover and trembling, shifty and new maid, bruised on his collarbone, intoxicated by discovery. Shindo has never set out to tell Toya about any of the things in his life, but Toya knows them all from conversations over a go-barn. So Toya knows that Shindo was first drunk on the night after his 17th birthday, and was in such a state because he finally arrived at the beckoned gates of puberty and noticed that Akira's considering looks were actually longing glances. Toya knows that Shindo met and furiously pursued a university student named Ayume when he was 18, overcoming her hesitation as he overcomes all his challenges, only to spend 14 weeks in the very lowest lows of depression after they very sadly went their separate ways to pursue separate desires, though Shindo's red-rimmed eyes made that clear that he still loved her very much. Toya knows that Shindo first slept with a man the night Toya first slept with a woman, having kissed and pressed seeking, curious hands to one of the very many attractive members of the bride's party, who turned out to be Natsumi's cousin, and who Toya secretly loathes. "How's everything?" Shindo asks distractedly, separating black and white pieces which mingle on the goban between them. Toya thinks about Natsumi, their spotless and attractive home, their comfortable, polite lives. "It's fine," he replies, and drops black go stones into the go-key. They've never quite grown out of their respective tempers. Then Natsumi says that she can hardly believe what a child Toya can be when it comes to having fights with Shindo. And so it is, unsurprisingly, the intersection of these terms, which leads to Shindo bursting into the room of profound darkness, shaking a Go Institute official off his arm, shouting, "What the hell are you talking about later? His wife is in labor now!" Toya watches Shindo's mouth move about hospitals and hurrying in silent horror, feeling his legs go numb from sitting Caesar and blind terror. He must foster this expression too long before it makes Shindo roll his eyes, grab Toya's arm, and jerk him up, hard enough to knock over the go-barn and drag him out of the room. At least 14 people yelling at him as Toya is propelled down the hallway of the Go Institute, down the stairs, and into a waiting taxi. "God, what morons!" Shindo complains as the car speeds towards the hospital. "Can you believe it? They wanted me to wait until after the game!" Toya tries not to have a panic attack, He couldn't have. Shindo goggles at him. Toya, Natsumi is having a baby. This takes a few more minutes to process, at which point the hospital is already looming out the window, and as the realization sinks in, Toya covers his face with his hands and moans quietly. Shindo, in what appears to be an attempt to be helpful, strokes his back in soothing, concentric circles, and leaves his hands there as he leads Toya up to the maternity, to room 230, from which Natsumi called Shindo a few minutes into the second game of Toya's Meijin title match. Several hours after that, there is a baby, at whom Toya stares at in silent awe where she sleeps in the viewing room. Natsumi is still asleep, and will probably remain that way well into the next morning, the doctors tell Toya, so he and Shindo are staring through the fingerprinted glass with the gap-jawed expressions of men who have never really realized the gory details of birth before having to see, or in Shindo's case, nurse Toya through seeing it. She's red, Shindo says diplomatically. She's so small, Toya murmurs, and she is unfathomably tiny. He wonders if this is normal, hopes that she is all right, wishes everything to go well for her, wants to see what her eyes look like open and bright, wants to know what she'll be like when she grows up, and to touch her small warm head, her matted black hair. Shindo grins and slaps a hand on Toya's shoulder. Congratulations, Dad! I'm a father now, Toya says, trying out the words. Shindo laughs again and says, Go on and keep staring. I'll call your parents. Toya will wonder much, much, much later why it is always Shindo who compels him, moves him, breaks his inertia. He spends a significant amount of time immediately after Michi's birth, bombarded by well-intentioned people in numbers which would scare some fairly legendary armies. They come prepared with gifts and advice that fades into a constant buzz of white noise in his ears, and Toya watches with some dim alarm as the stillness that he so admires in Natsumi starts to consume her, eat away at her rare and very beautiful smiles, of which Toya has become very fond. You look deranged, Shindo says kindly. One afternoon when Natsumi and Michi have been bundled off to her parents' home to be fussed over in smaller, more manageable amounts, and Shindo has abducted him out of mercy. Shindo's apartment is nicer than people would anticipate, but less than he is able to afford. Toya imagines that Shindo makes up the difference with the horrifying mass of random junk he purchases. Dozens of books of manga, stacks of video games, a PlayStation and two controllers, one white, one black, providing further evidence that really, Shindo shouldn't ever have the right to say that Toya is too obsessed with Go. He has some plants, which he has failed to kill so far, and strangely, beautifully mounted scrolls, fans with dancing calligraphy and gorgeous frames against his pale walls. All in all, the apartment has an eclectic, slightly chaotic feel that is a very honest reflection of Shindo Hikaru, all ambitious and brash, with surprising, soothing periods of elegant tranquility and dark, quiet depth. I'm exhausted, Toya admits. This seems to be explanation enough, and Shindo says, Nigiri, and they play a game of Go, slow and thoughtful and wondering, like Shindo's thoughts and smiles and, Toya thinks in a moment of delusional weariness, beguiling eyes. Toya's father is overjoyed by his grandchild, and immediately changes from the serious, stolid Meijin with whom Toya grew up into an utterly silly grandfather, complete with what feels like the entire stock of a large toy store and strange faces. Toya's mother divides her time between smiling sweetly at Michi and throwing concerned glances at Natsumi, who is still silent and disaffected, and is taken to sleeping in a small, spare guest room in their newly purchased home. Toya's mother says, Take extra care, Akira-san. And there is something in her voice that makes Toya worry for Natsumi, want to ask her how he can help. The words, however, always seem to die in his tongue as she passes him his dinner, eyes downcast. She's lost weight, Shindo says one day, in a quiet voice when he comes over. The baby's on the outside now, Toya snaps. Of course she's lost weight. She doesn't smile like she used to, Toya, Shindo warns. Pay attention. And Toya tries. He tries very hard. But life is drawn out into a 19 by 19 board, and the wild moves and predictable hands he has grown to know are Shindo's, and Natsumi's misplaced stones are as puzzling and frustrating as Shindo's secrets, ineffable, unknowable, and dangerous, as they carry her the way Shindo carried his grief, with a heavy, solemn grace. When Toya comes home from having lost the Oza title to Shindo, who is dragged off immediately by a rabid crowd from Go Weekly, several fan clubs composed of old men, and about 12, 16-year-old girls who discovered that there were indeed interesting Go players, he finds Natsumi crying in the bathtub. Her face is red and mottled, and she is destroyed, thin and miserable and pallid, white and washed out, sitting in lukewarm water because she forgot to turn on the heater. And Toya forgets that he has lost his title and climbs into the tub, drags her towards him, holds her close. It's not enough, he knows. Pulled in dripping wet clothing, when she digs her nails into his shoulders and wails that she's so sad, so, so very sad. The water moves around them, weighing them down, and Toya thinks, not for the first time, that they may be drowning. Natsumi goes home. She takes one small suitcase, and her father drives her, after offering Toya his profuse apologies. Worried eyes dark on a worried face, wrinkles deep around his mouth and set into his forehead. He looks at his daughter like he wishes he could rewind, erase, remake, change everything for her. And Toya thinks, as he watches their car drive away, that one day, if Michi should ever come across a man who makes her so unhappy, he would want that too. Then, he would let Shindo kill him. It's not your fault, Shindo tells him, pouring instant ramen out of a pot and into a bowl that he set in front of Toya on a bare table. What Shindo lacks in tact, he makes up in obnoxiousness. But before Toya can tell him where he can put his well-intentioned advice, Shindo has one of his surprising moments of wisdom. Sometimes people get sad, Toya, Shindo says, more gently this time. And it eats away at them, makes everything bad. Sometimes your heart turns on you, and then what are you supposed to do but be sad until you're ready to be happy? He balances a pair of chocolate chips on the rim of the bowl and adds, Now eat, you're turning into a stick. Toya eats, and when Michi wakes up screaming, Shindo instructs him to continue before disappearing into the next room. From the half-open door, Toya can see Shindo walking with Michi on his shoulder, his go-calloused hands stroking the soft curve of her head with a tenderness that makes Toya ache. That night, he hides beneath his covers and cries, infuriated, in a way he hadn't done since he lost to Shindo many, many years ago. It's life. Fate. A train wreck of winding red threads which takes no prisoners and takes into account no hurts. Toya will wear the scars of this, like he could feel them braceleted on Natsumi's thin, thin wrists the last time he held her. Made love to her desperately, like a physical expression of a feeling they may never have had, could fix this, as if he could force love between them like a chemical reaction. In the morning, Toya wakes to find Shindo feeding Michi with a bottle, the packaging still in the garbage. Michi is fighting the rubber nipple and throwing up a fuss. You're still here? Toya asks, surprised. Shindo looks up at him, grins wryly. Never leave somebody miserable alone, he says, and growls a little when Michi's tiny fist smacks the bottle away. Okay, this is definitely your kid, Shindo grouses. Here, let me do that, Toya says, and his voice sounds hoarse. He can no more fix this than he could make Shindo play Go. And it's a simile he can understand. The sad, dark-eyed looks from Shindo and the hollow hopelessness on Natsumi's once peaceful expression. Thank God, Shindo breathes. I think she was going to bite me soon. Toya takes his daughter into his arms and cannot help but to press a kiss to the crown of her soft, warm head, hand cradling her skull. She doesn't have teeth. Yeah, Shindo says with a grin, but she's your kid, and one day she'll have fangs. Toya's parents are in China, and between the agonizing thought of having to explain to his mother that his wife has left him, albeit temporarily, and the terrifying prospect of telling his father that Toya is now left in a large, looming, empty house with a deranged baby, he chooses silence. This means that he spends most of his waking hours divided between taking care of the baby and cleaning everything onto which Michi vomits. She seems to treat it as a recreational sport, and Toya tries to treat it like a challenge. This works until he finds himself shouting, "God, just shut up!" at her at 4:30 in the morning, when she wakes up for the sixth time that night. He feels terrible immediately. He's horrified with himself. Her eyes grow huge and luminous and accusing, as if she knows what Toya just said, and then tears roll down her cheeks silently, which only makes Toya wish he had a second so he could go commit seppuku right there and then. He ends up calling Shindo because he's desperate and can't remember anybody else's phone number by heart. "I'm a danger to my child," he says urgently into the receiver. "You're out of your fucking mind, that's what," Shindo growls back, voice raspy from sleep. "It's 4 a.m, you bastard!" Toya bounces Michi where she's pressed against his chest, the warm length of her small, soft body heavy in his arms. He loves her so much, it feels as if there isn't any space in his body to store all of it. But crushing affection wars with exhausted frustration, and Toya is losing and losing territory fast. "I yelled at her," Toya snaps. "Just now. It was terrible. I can't believe I did it." "Oh my God," Shindo moans. "Are you for real?" "Shindo!" "Toya, I've been yelled at and spanked and grounded and dropped, and one time I think my grandfather fell on me. And then my mom says she used to give me cold medicine to knock me out when I was a baby and wouldn't shut up, okay? Parents make a lot of lame mistakes, but babies are durable. Put down the phone and let me get back to sleep," Shindo says, annoyed. "But this is my daughter," Toya argues. "I don't care if your mother..." Toya pauses here because Shindo's words are finally processing through the panic. "She gave you cold medicine." "Yes," Shindo says, long-suffering. "Good night, freak," he adds and hangs up. Toya puts down the phone and looks at Michi. Their identical eyes huge as they stare at each other. "Oh, God," Toya says desperately. "Please don't turn out like Shindo." Michi wails. Michi is an attractive child, having grown out of the stage where Shindo referred to her as the screaming red one. It is unsurprising given her mother's elegant, calm features and the lines of Toya's face, which inherited the remarkable beauty of his own mother. Michi's hair is dark and curling, like Natsumi's, and Michi smiles a good deal more than her mother, giggling and wild-eyed and rash, shockingly like her most favourite childcare provider. "I think you've gotten hotter this week, Mii-chan," Shindo says seriously, flat on his stomach on the living room floor, head propped up on his stilted elbows. His eyes are shining and he's grinning at Toya's daughter, who sits in front of him and shrieks in pleased laughter, tugs on the collar of Shindo's dark blue t-shirt with delight. "I'm not going to tell you again how disturbing it is that you're kind of hitting on a 1-year-old," Toya mutters. Michi and Shindo only share a high, careless laugh at this, and this is one of the moments which makes Toya pause and take stock, wonder if perhaps he has not left his daughter in Shindo's care too frequently, if he persistently sees a shadow of his rival in the dark fringe of Michi's lashes, the brightness of her eyes. "You're going to be such a heartbreaker," Shindo goes on, pretending to ignore Toya. "You won't love me at all when you grow up, will you?" he asks, voice growing mockingly despairing. "I hope you'll still let me come over and play afterwards." Michi responds by latching onto his shirt and slobbering all over Shindo affectionately. Toya rubs the bridge of his nose. "You're insane," he says darkly. "Say goodbye to your old man," Shindo instructs, pulling himself up and cradling Michi in his arms, where she gurgles happily on his shoulder when Shindo walks her up to Toya, who is at the doorway, having trouble pulling himself away from his house for some reason. Toya presses a kiss to Michi's flushed cheek, which elicits a pleased squeal. She smells sweet and clean, and like Shindo's aftershave, which Toya is not going to think about. "Stop stalling," Shindo instructs. "Everything will be fine." "I'm not stalling, and I'm leaving now," Toya says determinedly, scowling at Shindo. Shindo holds up Michi's arms, and they wave at him. Later, when his hands are white-knuckled on the steering wheel of his car halfway across town, towards the quiet, sloping neighbourhood where Natsumi's parents live, Toya thinks that Michi's 18 months now, and Shindo has held her more than her own mother.
"Hello, Daddy."
Natsumi is quiet and soft-looking when she opens the door, and the smile she offers off is wavering, but real, and something in Toya's chest unknots, finally loosens. She says she's feeling much better now and cannot wait to get home again, that she doesn't know what came over her, and that she's very sorry it's taken so long, but that she's ready to try again, to be a mother and a wife and everything that Toya needs. Toya isn't sure a mother and a wife is what he needs, but if it isn't, then his requirements are vague and indefinable, and he's a little afraid of trying to give them more solid shape. The drive back to their home in its quiet, cozy neighborhood is uncomfortable. "You've done a very good job keeping house, Akira-san," Natsumi says gently, striking her hand over a table that had been covered in envelopes when he'd left to pick her up. Toru is seized by the image of Shindo cleaning up the kitchen, shuffling away envelopes and putting them into their proper places. Toya wonders how this had happened. How Shindo has begun haunting all the corners of his house in the 4 months Natsumi has been away. The thought is discomforting, as if it is a terrible secret. "Are you feeling better now, Natsumi?" Toya asks gently, because he can't keep thinking about the way Shindo looks, drowsing with Minchi in his lanky arms. Natsumi looks over her shoulder at him, and for a split second, Toya sees something in her eyes that makes him frightened, before it shifts away, settles aside, and all the oceans of stillness that made her delightful once swim back into focus. She makes an elaborate dinner, everything on the table gorgeous and fragrant and sizzling hot right off the stovetop. She smiles too much, and she is unerringly attentive, affectionate with Michi, who seems distant, squirming out of Natsumi's hold, and laughs, light-hearted and strange, somebody completely different than Toya married. And at night, when twilight falls and the night has drawn its curtains, she climbs into the tub with Toya, and they make a hideous, sopping wet mess on their way back to the bed, desperate and lonely and hot, hands relearning one another's bodies. For Toya, it's been too many nights of his own fingers and biting his lip, too many nights where he lays in his bed and thinks about the telltale bruises he sees on Shindo sometimes. Toya cannot help but remember the rosy kiss marks, the affectionate, finger-curved shapes on his arms. Once, and only once, the purple reminder of a bite on the line of his hip where Shindo's shirt rode up. Natsumi's curves have flattened into hard edges, and the curvature of the bones, jutting hips and unfamiliar angles at her elbows and collarbones. But she looks down at Toya with a fever light in her eyes when she grinds down on him, like she's trying to take her with him. Take his hand and sink them to wherever she's been all this time. And when Toya comes, he sees everything shatter for a second and wonder where she's been going, and would things be all right if he followed. But Toya has a map burned into the inside of his heart, lines fused with arteries and walls of flesh, and it runs parallel with Shindo's wild moves, the way he dashes across a goban, and Toya wonders how he will ever apologize for never intending to choose Natsumi. Things do not get better. The initial pleasantness wears off, and Natsumi's fake smile recedes. Toya's schedule returns to a state of total chaos, and the glimpses he sees of his family when he's home long enough to see them keep him up at night. Natsumi's solemn and quiet shuffling around the house frightens Michi, who spends most of her time crawling toward her father or away from her mother, towards corners where Toya thinks Michi must find comfort, familiarity, friendlier ghosts. "She's just a baby," Toya says gently. 4 months is a long time for her." Natsumi just scrubs a plate as if she wants to wear through the ceramic. "She hates me," she bites out, and there's a terrible sort of shadow in her voice when she says it. "She doesn't hate you," Toya replies. "She just doesn't remember you very well." "Don't patronize me," she snaps, and slaps the dish and sponge into the hot, murky water in the sink. There are dark circles under her eyes. "She cries every time I pick her up. If that doesn't mean she hates me, then please explain." Toya doesn't know what to say. He has held Michi to his chest before, let her press her small, warm face to him, listened to his heartbeats and felt her own steady, wondered if she felt what he did, and saw all the jagged edges that Natsumi still wore like a suicide dress. There is something sad and discordant about her now. The way she walks, how he hasn't seen her leave the house for days, the way she loses her temper, the way she scowls when he mentions go. "You could..." Toya looks for the words, because he's always been the quiet child. "Try harder, I suppose. Stop looking so miserable all the time." And as soon as he's said it, he knows it's a mistake, because something in her eyes snap, and he just has enough time to duck before the plate shatters on the wall behind his head. Though he arrives at the match perfectly pressed and otherwise indiscernible from normal, Shindo is his usual irritating self and identifies, from his vantage point in the observation room watching the game, a shake in Toya's hands. "My hands were not shaking," Toya complains. Shindo puts his hand on Toya's head and halfway gently shoves him into the passenger seat of his obnoxious yellow car. Toya is mortified to be seen in it the first time he ever let Shindo give him a ride, and still feels a small tremor of embarrassment. He wants to remind Shindo that neither of them is 12 years old anymore, but Toya knows it's pointless. "Your hands were shaking," Shindo says decisively. "You haven't been sleeping. You barely won that game. I was disgusted on your behalf." Toya scowls and wishes Shindo let himself into the driver's side. Long arms and legs a mess as he buckles his seatbelt and checks his bang in the rearview mirror before he puts the car in gear and they drive. "I mean," Shindo starts, annoyed. "I know Natsumi-san just got back and all, but geez, could you two give it a rest at night at least before matches? It's starting to affect your game." Toya turns the colour red he didn't know the body was capable of, and only resists the urge to punch Shindo in the arm because he's driving. "That's not it," he snaps. "I can't believe you'd..." The sentence wanders off into oblivion, too far past humiliated to go on. Shindo casts him a considering look, which falters into concern before his eyes go back to the road, calmer and a more serious, an expression Toya has seen many times when his rival was disentangling Toya's defences on the go-barn, destroying carefully laid patterns. "What are you thinking?" Toya demands, because he knows Shindo. "I think I left something in your house," Shindo says casually, taking a left into Toya's neighbourhood, just as Toya's eyes widen in horror. "I better go check." "You did not leave anything in my house," Toya insists desperately. No, I'm pretty sure I did," Shindo says breezily, pulling up into the driveway and parking. "I wouldn't want to leave my ugly, colour-blind stuff all over your perfectly coordinated home. I better go get it." Shindo's out of the car before Toya's finished fumbling with the seatbelt, and halfway into the house by the time Toya manages to slam the door of the car shut and rush upward, feeling an impending sense of doom as Shindo's voice echoed through the hallway, saying, "Excuse me, Natsumi-san, I brought your husband." Shindo's already kicking off his shoes in the entryway by the time Toya hits the front steps, and the curses that race through his head don't grow louder when he sees Shindo disappearing around the corner into the kitchen. There are times in Toya's life where he questions the purpose of Shindo in it. These moments pass quickly because Toya knows that Shindo is his eternal rival, the one person who knows Toya so well that Shindo could pretend to be Toya on the go-barn, fake it with careless, elegant grace. Toya also knows that Shindo bullies him into eating lunch and into playing 12 games of Go with him at the Toya Go Salon, that Shindo always looks like he's just stepped out of a youth fashion magazine, that girls on the street give him lingering, starry-eyed looks when he walks past, that his parents don't understand him but love him. Toya knows that Shindo doesn't understand why Toya is always so quiet, why he starches his shirts, and why he irons everything, and Toya never, never wants to see Shindo rifling through Toya's suitcase at a Go convention again, gaping in horror at his neatly folded, ironed underpants. Toya knows that Shindo worries about him sometimes, when Shindo can be bothered to worry about anything, asks if Toya has slept enough or if Michi is well. Toya knows that Shindo has his secrets, his own heartaches, has overheard Izumi Seven Dan talk about them once, the way Shindo had cried many years ago over his untouched go-barn. And Toya knows that Shindo will know the moment he sees it. So, when Toya bursts into the kitchen to find Michi screaming in her high chair, reaching her chubby arms toward where Shindo is standing near the back wall, he knows that, as far as this secret goes, it's over. Natsumi is sitting at the kitchen table, tearing apart a large, black, circular pillow that looks like a go stone, which Shindo found God knows where and presented to Michi 2 weeks ago. The broken dish is still on the floor where all the shattered pieces fell that morning. Toya almost wants to say something about how it's not as bad as it looks, but who's he kidding? Half an hour later, Shindo leaves, carrying Michi against his chest, and she looks over his shoulder at Toya and Natsumi, standing in the kitchen, with a wariness beyond her year. Shindo tells him he's dropping their daughter off at her grandparents, that they're selfish bastards, that they can kill one another for all he cares, and that whatever is going on, he doesn't want to see it. It's not the first time Shindo's words have stung him, nor is it the first time Shinde's been right, but it hurts differently this time. Hurts worse, watching Michi's small face finally fall peaceful, drowsing on Shindo's shoulder as he walks out of the kitchen. Toya's no good at fighting with people who aren't Shindo. He and his rival have, over the years, built between them comfortable sets of rules in the art of harmless aggression. And though there have been occasional collateral damage in the form of 3 gokes, 1 magnetic goban on the Shinkansen between Tokyo and Hokkaido, and a cell phone, Toya has always known what not to say. Toya's constantly angry with Shindo, though Toya has never wanted to hurt him, and even if Toya wants to see Shindo angry and flushed and irritated, proven wrong, Toya does not want Shindo to be upset, does not want him to look away. So Toya knows not to shout about Shindo giving up Go when they were younger, nor does he ever ask more about Shindo's secrets than Shindo is willing or able to share, and if Toya fights with words that sting, he does it so that Shindo will fight back. This is how they've always been. And there is that similar sentiment here, because Toya loves, as well as he can love, Natsumi, and he doesn't want to see her hurt either. But the things that make her suffer are so far out of his limited control that Toya imagines that there's nothing he can do about it any longer, that it's been out of his hands since the very beginning, from day one. Natsumi feels like a wild, stray thought, with none of the rules or straight lines of Go or its many formations, and Toya has only ever known Go. He doesn't know what to do anymore, and he's probably never known what to say. Which doesn't seem to matter, because Natsumi is staring in horror at the kitchen doorway, and she says angrily, "You let him take her?" It occurs to Toya that the thought of stopping Shindo from basically abducting his daughter never crossed his mind. Shindo knows Michi's favourite songs and her brand of diapers and has learned over time how to make a daughter of Toya Akira who will one day grow fangs drink properly from a bottle. Shindo is delighted by Michi, by her small and furious noises, her small and furious smiles, and says that she is all the best parts of Toya, and best of all, not him. "We were upsetting her," Toya says quietly. Something in Natsumi's eyes flare, like the only times she's really alive nowadays are when she's angry with Toya. "She's my daughter," Natsumi hisses. "And you're scaring her to death," Toya bites out, because it's true, and he just hasn't been able to say it until now. Narrowing his eyes, he says, "You're always making her cry. You glare at her. You lose your temper all the time. I gave birth to her. You didn't even drive me to the emergency room," Natsumi shouts. "What would you know? You're never even home. Before..." And she stops herself. There is a long, awkward silence, and Toya wonders what she meant to say there. If there was something she'd been wanting to do. He tries to think about what might have been before. Before Michi was born? Before she became pregnant? Before they were married? But that was 4 years ago. And what feels like a very fast lifetime, with so many things that have happened in between. Before is a nebulous concept. "I came as soon as I could," Toya argues. "I make as much time as possible." "You always leave me alone with her," Natsumi screams, furious. "You always leave me alone with her and she just never stops. She's a baby," Toya yells back. "She's a baby and she can't take care of herself any more than you can." Natsumi's hands are shaking when she slaps him, and he can feel the tremor in her fingers even when her palm is flat and huge and painful across his cheek. Toya watches her face fall when she realizes what she's done, and he doesn't know what to say, what to do, and grabs for her wrists because he can't keep her from hurting herself anymore. She starts screaming then, and by the time she's cried herself half to sleep, they're huddled in a corner in the kitchen, Toya stroking her hair. "I'm going crazy," she whispers, horrified. "My mind's slipping away from me." "We'll fix it," Toya says, because it's the only lie he can manage at the moment. They stay that way until morning, when they uncurl from one another's angles and edges, with the discomfort of a long night on a hard floor. And when Toya manages to drag them both upstairs, he sees the lustrous sheen of her dark, smooth hair has faded, just like the stillness in her eyes, which has deepened to something far, far more frightening. "It's not going to be okay, Akira-san," she murmurs and tumbles into their bed. It's not. But they don't talk about it. because neither of them are particularly brave people. Things do not get particularly worse or better for the most part, and Toyo goes on in a bewildered sort of haze, with a renewed, inexplicable protectiveness towards his daughter and time spent with his rival that sets Natsumi ill at ease. Though at this point, Toyo knows nothing he does will please her, so he doesn't care as much as he should. He's frustrated, and she's tired, and they're both too young to feel the way they do. Toya's parents, upon discovering the many-layered problems that plagued the relationship, were shocked. As shocked as they ever were, and in moments of horrifying revelation, Toyo heard his father say over an informal game after an informal meal, "I wonder if we always expected too much of you." Toyo has never thought about this as a possibility, that his parents wanted more than he could possibly give them. The way he'd always looked at it, his father and mother had written him a map in life, though it was endowed with large and generous roads, time and resources enough to wander and see what he liked. When he met Shindo, the lines his rival cut were far more severe, though Toyo had never resented Shindo's demands either. He tries to explain this, but mostly he sees the way that his mother watches over him, wary and worried, and the words die on his lips, because he's already broken her heart, and he can't bear to add lying to the burden she may bear. "Akira-san," his mother says to him later that day, when Toyo is folding one of the dish towels, the way Shindo always did it, in threes and over again so no hemmed edges appeared. "I hope you're happy." And Toyo says, "I'm very well, mother." She looks at him, watery-eyed, because they both know they're dancing around an unbearable truth neither is going to say aloud. So she forces a smile to her face, which is bearing darker circles under her bright eyes and deeper lines on her forehead, and Toyo sees age like wear on her, the footprints of a life lived well. "I'm very glad Shindo-kun is your friend," she says gently, the same way she did when they were both 17, and the way Toyo suspects she will until they're 80, because to her, they will both always be the 16-year-old boy she found passed out on opposite sides of the go-go board upon a return trip from China. "I know you two seem to think that fighting is getting along, but he really cares about you very much." Toyo says, "I know," but it barely comes out. He thinks, though, from the look on his mother's face, that she knows that he knows, and that this is one of the million things they both know which lay silent and still in the waters between them. "Go on," she instructs him. "Say goodnight to your father." Toyo does, because he has always been a quiet, mature child, and that has not changed with age. In the next 3 months, Shindo begins dating a fetching young man with dark, lustrous hair that shines in the light, is very long and very pretty. The pubescent one, and that's what Toyo calls him privately, because Shindo is most certainly rubbing the tender cradle of the Todai freshman class, giggles too much and is utterly unconcerned with appearances, reads classical Japanese text in a glorious soft voice, and adores Shindo with an unabashed gleam of sexual fascination in his bright, bright eyes. Toyo hates him. "Behave," Shindo warns. "I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about," Toyo says imperiously, and slaps a black stone on the board. The Toyo Go Salon is, and probably will forever be, populated by old neighbourhood men, mainstays of a tradition of go in Japan who will spend more time drinking tea and gossiping over go weekly than doing all the things they'd planned for their retirement. At the moment, however, all of them are crowded around Michi, who is probably doing something hideously embarrassing the next table over, but Toyo's been a father long enough to have abandoned all hopes of dignity and is grateful for the opportunity to play Shindo without Shindo running off to chase Michi through the house and blow raspberries on her stomach. "You know exactly what I'm talking about," Shindo mutters. "You're always so condescending to him, he thinks you hate him." "Or," Toyo thinks nastily, watching Shindo watch the board, "makes stupid excuses to go molest nubile college students." "Hate is such a strong word," Toyo compromises. Shindo rolls his eyes and makes his move. Tengen. "Clear this isn't going to be one of those games that people rave about," Toyo thinks with a silent sigh, replying with a Shidogo move, because if Shindo is going to be a little shit, so can he. "I don't get it," Shindo says speculatively. "You both like the same sorts of things, literature, art, making me want to rip my hair out." "That's not a promising sign for a relationship," Toyo says automatically, but out of what is probably pity, Shindo just blithely continues his sentence and does not take the easy shot. It just doesn't make sense that you two always hiss at each other. I don't know why you want us to get along, Toya says sulkily, setting a stone on the corner of the board, more to be irritating than aggressive. He's starting to think that he's regressing, or maybe he's just realizing that nothing is or was ever as important as he seemed to think. Two tables over, Michi lets out a high, happy squeal, and all the old men at the salon roar with laughter and encouragement. Toya does not want to know. I spend a lot of time with him, Shindo explains patiently and in small words. I spend a lot of time with you. I'd like it if my apartment wasn't ground zero each time. He started it, Toya says. Shindo winces in memory. Your hair was in a ponytail, he says cautiously. I was helping you clean up, Toya snaps, and the anger that doesn't crackle through his words snaps itself down with a go piece on the board. The first time he met the pubescent one, he'd been at Shindo's apartment, cleaning up after the utterly ridiculous study session that had just concluded. He'd pulled his hair up with a rubber band, and he'd been starting on the dishes, and the next thing he knew, there was a swishy, furious, pretty-faced boy shrieking at Toya about Shindo already having a boyfriend, you know. It wasn't my fault Ogata-sensei great crush the session, Shindo whined, and Haruka only thought you were a girl because he saw you from behind. Toya narrows his eyes. The game ends quickly. Horrible, Shindo mourns later after the yelling. Toya ignores him and scowls at the guilty-looking old man in the ghost line as he pries lollipop after lollipop out of Michi's sticky fingers and pockets, trying not to see her large-eyed pout. When she learns to form complete sentences, she's going to be unstoppable. Just gruesome, Shindo moans. Smine, Michi complains. It's bad for you, Toya replies, and opens her left hand to pull out yet another hard candy. He's got to stop bringing his daughter to the ghost salon. Don't care, she whines pleadingly. Grizzly, Shindo finishes sadly, and wanders over to ruffle Michi's already messy hair. It's enough to distract the little monster so that she unhands all her ill-acquired treats and latches onto Shindo, who never seems to care even when she gets his shirt and face sticky with kisses or sweets. And enough to distract Toya for one soft-edged moment before he hears someone being welcomed into the ghost lawn and forces a scowl from his face at the realization of who it must be. Well, Shindo says, pressing his forehead against Michi's in a conspiratorial manner that always makes Toya feel really left out. I'd love to stay and bully your dad with you, but I've got to go bully some dinner with the honor student. Toya doesn't know why Shindo bothers. Michi will probably interpret even the best excuse as abandonment and hold Toya responsible for it later. Michi pouts. Same play, she instructs. Shindo laughs, just as a very familiar giggle joins in, and Toya catches the profile of Haruka moving into the edge of his vision. Sorry, Mit-chan, Haruka says. I got dibs. And clearly he does, from the way that Shindo's bright eyes fall on him with a lingering soft affection. After they leave, and after Toya behaves himself admirably, Toya cannot help but wonder at how Shindo seems to love, for Shindo has had many paramours and seems to have meant it each time more than Toya has ever meant it even once. Toya Koyo dies 8 months after that from a heart attack in his sleep. He is in Japan when it happens, and Toya manages to keep himself together just enough to hold on to his mother and allow Shindo to make all the necessary arrangements. Shindo makes phone calls and speaks in low, respectful tones, and when he has time, he tells Toya to eat. Somehow, there is a funeral, and occasionally he wakes up enough to realize he has lost something enormous and aching, and that this has hollowed him, stripped all the flesh from his body and marrow from his bones. And most nights, all Toya knows is that the sky has fallen down, that the whole world has crashed down around him. Natsumi doesn't know what to do, so she takes Michi and goes to her parents' home. Toya's mother goes to her sister's house, and Toya gets into his car and drives the 40 minutes to the house he grew up in, drags through the front door, and wakes up over 16 hours later with Shindo sitting next to him, looking like he knows what it's like to sit in total, overwhelming darkness. Shindo's eyes are supernaturally grey, nearly silver, and Toya focuses on the details because the big picture is too big. Suddenly, the size and scope of the universe too large even in theory to wrap his mind around. So Toya watches Shindo's face, the shadows on his cheeks, the way that Shindo has changed from a playful boy to an attractive teenager into a handsome man with a good heart that Toya feels like he knows because he's lived so close to it for so long. "Your aunt gave me the key," Shindo says by way of hello. Normally, Toya would bolt upright and make some excuse, but it hardly seems important to do that now, because his father has died and it doesn't make any sense. "This isn't real," he says instead. Shindo reaches one hand out and runs his fingers through Toya's knotted, matted hair, which wouldn't make sense either if it were actually happening. But all of this must be a dream. Any minute now, Toya will wake up. "You'll wake up, Toya," Shindo says, but there is something sad about it. "I'll wake up," Toya promises himself, but he closes his eyes as he says this, so he's not sure if it counts. He thinks this may go on for days, but when he opens his feverish eyes, Shindo is there with the water and sometimes food, but always comforting cool hands and tells him not to worry about anything. So Toya doesn't. He's always trusted Shindo, even when he never should have. Later, when he realizes that no matter how much he sleeps and wakes up again, that it will always be like this for the rest of his life, for the rest of all time, his knees give out from underneath him and he crumples, folds, and collapses. He curls up on the futon where he's been laying and cries until he feels the blankets lift from him, until he feels Shindo's long body sliding next to his own, lanky arms coming around him. And Toya doesn't care anymore, so he just lets Shindo hold him while he shakes, all of the leftover pieces of himself shattering out of place. He's gasping and wailing, and he thinks he might be babbling, but he can feel Shindo's forehead pressed against his own, the way he's seen Shindo and Michi share their small, smiling secrets. Toya feels like he feels the reassuring, beautiful beat of Shindo's heart against his chest, that the contact makes this their secret, that Shindo, who has always held so many silent truths close to his chest, will add this one along with his others. Toya grieves, desperate and broken and real again, for his father and his mother and his continually, hopelessly, breaking heart. It's about 3 days later, when Toya wakes up and feels normal and almost gets through the day, that Shindo finds Toya staring at his father's razor and pulls Toya to him, pulls him in and over, and there is somehow a shift there, a slight motion in Toya's chest that makes him look up into Shindo's familiar, intoxicating eyes. "You can't go with him," Shindo warns. His eyes are weary with experience, and Toya thinks in a sudden haze of a memory that it's May. That it's May, and his is not the only heart breaking. "It doesn't work like that," Shindo adds softly. Toya's feeling a little bit caught, a little bit insane, wild and reckless like Shindo's go. Shindo's large hands are on his wrists, and somehow, Toya is standing with the small of his back pressed against the bathroom counter. He can feel Shindo's knees against the inside of his thigh, the sense suggestion of Shindo's bare feet near his own slippered ones. This is too real, and it makes something howling in his chest howl louder. "I don't know what you're talking about," Toya says, breathless. It makes Shindo's eyes close a little until they are dark and sultry and half shut, regarding Toya with a beloved depth that makes him feel shaky, inebriated, out of focus. They are close enough that Toya can feel Shindo's breath on his cheek, and the bathroom suddenly melts out of his awareness into a blur of warm skin on Shindo's arms. It makes something in his throat shatter open and shut, and the only thing he manages to say is, "What?" Then Shindo is closing his mouth over Toya's, and it is a sweet, silent kiss, one that Toya has felt maybe all of his life, and it is as much a prayer as it is comfort. And Toya finds himself kissing back, because he feels more alive than he has since he received his mother's phone call at 4 on the pale, raining morning. And then, with the persuasive skill of a boy who had learned to kiss people he loved to kiss, Shindo teases Toya's mouth open, softly and like the blooming of a flower. Shindo's tongue slides along Toya's lower lip and presses and suggests and makes Toya moan into the motion, makes him give in, because it means Shindo will breathe life into him the way Shindo breathed life into his go. It's nothing like the 3 awkward, uncomfortable kisses he's shared with nondescript dates prior to meeting and marrying Natsumi, and nothing like their affectionate, companionable embraces. is not hot or desperate, but it is peaceful, dark, and like the deep end of the ocean, like a rush of water and an upward rise that Toya can feel, like bubbles on his skin. So that when Shindo pulls away, separates them for oxygen, Toya feels Shindo's palm warm against his cheeks, and Shindo's forehead smooth against his own, and Shindo's reassuring presence there, like he's always been there, for as long as it's mattered. "Let me do this for you," Shindo offers, and he sounds young saying it. "I don't... Let me do this for you," Shindo says again, and meets Toya's eyes, hands sliding from Toya's cheeks to Toya's shoulders, and down along his arms until their fingers lock together and Shindo is pulling him out of the bathroom down the hall. The frightening thing is that Toya is not frightened at all.
"Shindo, you don't have to..."
And Shindo silences him off with another kiss, fast and tender to the corner of Toya's mouth. Shindo has always been wrapped in many secrets and many contradictions, and the most honest thing about him is his go. But Toya feels that Shindo lives up to his name, that he glimmers and glows and flickers, like a fire or a star hurtling towards an end, and Toya is nearly blinded by the way Shindo shines at him.
"You're really beautiful," Shindo murmurs then, as if it's an answer.
And apparently it is, because Toya finds himself in his old bedroom, tugging a futon out of the closet and barely having it laid flat before he drags Shindo down, desperate and submitting to Shindo's searching, familiar hands, his calloused fingers, his flat, large palms, huge and warm against the skin of Toya's belly. And what Toya finds, crawling just beneath his flesh, is not a desperate desire. The way he sometimes thought this might all pan out when he was brave enough to think it at all, but a desperate gratefulness at being wanted. He's all wrung out, pulled and stretched until he feels like the skin of a drum, and he wants somebody to help him, to give him room. And the way Shindo is kissing his eyelids, sucking hot, bruising kisses behind his ears, tangling his fingers in Toya's hair, is making him feel something loosening in his chest. Toya's never been passive at anything he's done, but tonight, he's laying sprawled out on the bed he slept in when he was 4 and watching, flushed and blurry, as Shindo licks each bit of skin he reveals, unbuttoning Toya's shirt with clever fingers. Toya's always suspected that underneath a veneer of carelessness, Shindo's actually very gentle, and he's right, because later, afterward, when Shindo's got his hand on Toya's cock and he's curled around Toya like a second skin, Shindo murmurs into his neck, "It's okay, easy, easy." Later, deeper into the night, Toya lays on his side and watches Shindo sleeping, hair a mess, face smooth and younger than by day, and feels every kiss, every stroke, every ache in his body, and feels all the dips and curves of this geography between them. Wonders how and how much this has changed them, and wants to do it again, immediately. He wants Shindo to wake up and lean over and press his mouth to Toya's again, familiar and soft and warm, and wonders what it'd feel like if Shindo wasn't so terribly careful, the way Toya's always been so terribly careful about everything. And like magic, Shindo does, eyes sleepy and heavy. He lifts one hand and pulls Toya close to him, kisses Toya on the mouth, familiar and soft and warm, and says, "You're supposed to be here, okay?" And it takes Toya until the time Shindo falls asleep again to figure out what Shindo is talking about. Toya curls up at Shindo's side and thinks how strange it is to have been looking at the razor that way, to be so close to something and suddenly so far away, and the opposite too. He wonders, ruefully, buries his face in Shindo's neck, and sleeps. But then, Toya wakes up again, and it's to an empty house and a note on his pillow in Shindo's atrocious handwriting. Shindo says that he's sorry, he had to run, early tutoring session, and he promised to meet Haruka for lunch, and reality crashes in on Toya's head like a vicious wave. Toya wants to ask, "Is it okay?" And, "Why did you do that?" And, "Do you love me?" But he doesn't say any of it, taking a cue from Shindo's seamless transition into normality. The next time they see one another, it's at a go convention. Shindo is wreathed by middle-aged women, all of whom are more or less shit-faced, laughing and touching his arms, and his hands, and his shoulders. Toya almost smiles at the sight until he spots Haruka sitting at Shindo's right-hand side, hair long and loose, and his features so fine that he passes for a girl, laughing. Toya's never liked Haruka. Never mind now.
when Toyo knows why Haruka has that smile on his face. He spends the rest of the evening trouncing drunk businessmen in a very mean way. Deep in the sleepy starlit night, when Toyo finds Shindo blurry and red-faced at the hotel bar, he sits down and feels Shindo's head fall on his shoulders, wordless and familiar and warm, and it all falls into place with such a devastating ease of awareness that Toya stays silent until Shindo murmurs, sweetly drunk, "You never stop being sad, Toya. You just live with it. But I can be sad with you." Toya presses his cheek to the top of Shindo's dark hair and says, "Yes, you can." So this is how Toya finds himself, 4 months later, with an increasingly curious child and an increasingly irritable Shindo. Shindo's never been a bully, but he sent at least 2 lower dans crying out of the mat room in just under 3 weeks, punched a vending machine, and snapped at Izumi-san. Toya, meanly, has placed a bet with Ashiwara that these are all just surface indications that Shindo has finally tired of the pubescent one. Ogata manages to say he's probably just sick of dicking somebody whose voice is cracking before Ashiwara scowls him down. Toya, because he surrendered himself to being an asshole about this, cannot help but grin. The downside of all of this is that apparently when people are involved in a long-term relationship wherein both people are emotionally involved, something Toya's never been party to before, really, he thinks depressingly, it takes a lot of energy and effort to achieve separation. "Why don't you just break up?" Toya asks, perplexed. Shindo stares at him for a long time. "I don't want to break up with him," Shindo finally explains, as if Toya were a slow child. For a long time after, Shindo looks at Toya sadly. Toya has never managed to keep any secrets from Shindo, and Toya knows that Shindo knows. Toya has never wanted another person the way he has wanted Go, and maybe Shindo hasn't either, but he has wanted to want them so well, and Toya can only imagine what that's like. At night, Toya goes home to his cold and empty house and curls Michi in his arms, cradles her, sleeps with her pressed to his chest on the living room sofa and stares at the ceiling, feeling bereft and ceaselessly spinning and being weighted down by her presence. The worst thing of all, Toya knows, is that this could be the life he leads for the rest of it all, and it might even be enough because he'd have his daughter and his Go. On an otherwise unremarkable Thursday, another 2 months later, Toya comes home from a horrible Go retreat in Osaka to find all the lights in his house blazing and everything overturned. He thinks for a single horrible moment that he's been robbed until he sees Shindo sitting on the floor of the living room, Michi in a desperate, possessive clutch in his arms as he cuddles her close to his chest, making quiet, hushing noises as she cries into his neck. Toya is about to ask what the hell happened when Shindo's eyes flicker upward and Toya sees that he's in serious, serious trouble. "What happened?" he asks quietly. He wonders, "Where's Natsumi?" Shindo just pulls himself to his feet, Michi's sob melting quietly into whimpers as Shindo walks down the hallway and sets her down on her bed.
"Don't go,"
she hiccups and clutches at Shindo's hand. "I'm going to be right in the hall, okay?" Shindo promises. "I'll keep the door open."
"Dad?"
she asks, and Shindo gives Toya a death glare that rockets him to his feet, rushing over to his daughter and lavishing soothing words on her, touching her cheeks, her hair, stroking down her... "What the..." Toya starts. "We'll be right outside your door," Shindo promises again, grabs Toya by the hand and jerks him out of Michi's nursery. Before Toya can properly have a mental breakdown and blow up at the same time, the way he can only do properly in present company, Shindo slaps a hand over Toya's mouth and says in a quiet, low voice, "Natsumi showed up at my house today while I was having a blow-up fight with Haruka and shoved Michi at me. She was crying like crazy, and I didn't know what was going on, because Natsumi was yelling about how she couldn't be trusted and freaked out and ran off before I could ask what the hell was going on." Shindo takes a deep breath. "And then I looked at Michi because she was crying like hell too, and I saw that huge, ugly bruise on her arm, and I think I went a little crazy, like she wasn't scared enough." Toya's mind goes totally blank, because what is he supposed to think? What's he supposed to do? Is she... he asks, pulling Shindo's hand off his mouth. He's never been so scared. He's so furious he can't think. He's going to throw up. He's going to cry. He wants to run into the other room and clutch Michi to his chest, just the way Shindo was, fierce and possessive and frightened. Shindo shakes his head, and he curls his fingers around Toya's where their hands were suspended midair. I checked. I gave her a bath and put her in new clothes, and we went out for ice cream and I took her to the zoo to watch the penguins march and she calmed down a lot. She falls silent. She was having a nightmare when you came in. Toya hears himself making a low, choking voice, and Shindo murmurs something low and soft and pulls Toya into his chest. And Toya lets Shindo's warmth seep into him, is glad that they're pressed together like this, palm to palm and chest to chest, and Toya fists his hand in Shindo's t-shirt. This is like a full-body kiss, and he can't help but gasp for breath to know that he's only ever shared this with Shindo, that for years of his life he's lived walled off and alone, in all the meaningful senses of the word. I think Natsumi's gone. For good, Shindo says into Toya's cheek. I know Haruka is. Haruka left? Toya asks, grasping for anything to ground him. He keeps seeing Michi's wet face. He wants to kill Natsumi. Shindo laughs, and it's more of a bitter outward rush of oxygen. He says, he said he was sick of being second best. Toya doesn't know what that means, but he's too tired to ask. They spend the night sitting on either side of the bedroom door, their linked hands in the space between. After that, Shindo stops going home, just moves more and more of his things into Toya's big house, which is less and less lonely, filled with the sounds of Shindo's voice and Michi's laugh and layered by the television, which Shindo leaves on but almost never watches. And when Michi is sleeping or quiet or drawing on her own, Shindo and Toya play game after game of Go, and for the first time in his life, everything makes sense. And when Toya sleeps, there is no yawning sense of absence anywhere in the quiet of his mind. On Michi's fourth birthday, Shindo buys a cake the size of one of the smaller islands in Japan's archipelago, a mountain of presents, takes her to ride the Ferris wheel late at night, and makes Toya come join in during each of these activities. By the time they limp into the house late that night, Michi is passed out in Shindo's arms, and Toya is ready to die. By the time Michi is changed and in bed, Shindo says, I can't move, and falls into Toya's futon instead of walking down the hall to his own room. Move, Toya complains and shoves ineffectually at Shindo's shoulder. It's too much temptation and he's too tired to rationalize it, to tell himself that he's still married, that Shindo is still probably pining for Haruka, that this strange game they're playing is for Michi. I just said I can't. Shindo moans and turns to his side, putting his face in Toya's neck, and Toya freezes in surprise. Shindo, he says. He was right, Shindo mutters, and Toya feels Shindo's hand on his shirt, fisting at the hem. About being second best. Second best? Toya asks, breathless, and he feels his heart speed up, his face go hot. There's a very long silence before Shindo mutters, I always picked you first. It was always about you and Go and... Shut up, Toya tells him, and Shindo's breath catches in his throat for a long, long moment, before Toya pulls away enough to frame Shindo's face in his hands. Shindo's eyes are grey and wide with surprise because he must see in Toya what Toya has seen all along. Shindo whispers, Toya, and Toya says, you weren't second best either. The last pieces fall into place, and it's like looking at the hand of God written in the spaces between them. Though he's young, Toya Akira has always been a quiet, mature man, so his mother and father-in-law do not hesitate to arrange for divorce filings. Natsumi is frail and thin and too pale, and Toya sometimes still has a flash of violence and wants to strike her, and then he wants to say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry this has happened to you and me. The storm in Toya's head is still roaring, but he's found the eye of it in Shindo Hikaru. He was loud and messy and a living, breathing interruption. He was fluid, beautiful Go and too many ghosts. Toya cannot see any reason to think this can end in anything but disaster, but he loves Shindo anyway, with a fierce irrationality that must be bred through long-term exposure. And that is enough.